Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Everyday Truth and another day in the book of Philippians.
Yes.
And I have so enjoyed this little book of Philippians, Scott. And we're winding up. We're getting to the end of chapter one, which I guess means we're at the 25% mark.
Yes, almost a quarter done.
Which is good. But you know, and I think you said it an episode or two ago, if the scenery is stunning, you don't really want to go fast.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I don't want to breeze my way through the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. I want to drink in those scenes. Yeah. And the book of Philippians is great scenery.
It sure is. A lot of lookout points throughout the entire book.
Right. So those scenic stops.
Yes. We're gonna,
yep.
Yes.
And we've done it. We've stopped at every single one of them.
Yes, we have.
So here we are in Philippians chapter 1. And let me read the rest of the chapter, listeners, just so you'll have a perspective of the flow, verses 25 through 30. And if you're following along, that's great too. But listen carefully, verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide, Paul's still testifying, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So, really a great conclusion to the whole perspective, Scott, of what is God doing in my life? How is God using my life to further the gospel? How do I relate now to you Philippians that have been worried about me? All of that. So let's break that down. Having this confidence. So Paul said, you know, I really have a sense that, you know, God's kept me here on earth for this reason. What is that reason?
The reason is the gospel. The reason is to magnify Christ, to glorify God. And I love 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Your life is a billboard for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has it impacted and changed and transformed you? Eight times throughout Philippians, you'll see the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. An epistle that's written to Christians, focusing on and making much of the gospel. And then that summation verse, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also, as much as it is a gift to believe on him, salvation, our suffering is also a gift from God. And at times it's used to complete and push forward not only our refining and our purifying and maturing in Christ, but also in getting the gospel out and seeing his kingdom built.
So good. And sometimes we get hung up on some of these older English words, let your conversation. So that's not just the words you use.
Lifestyle.
That's your lifestyle. Let your conversation be as it becometh. And becometh there means to adorn.
Yes.
To decorate.
Yes.
In fact, Paul even using that word, adorn the gospel of God. Is the gospel better looking?
Yes.
Because of you. We can't change the substance of the gospel. We dare not do that.
Yes.
So we're not trying to make it sound more palatable by taking out sin or by adding in some other means of salvation. But the point is that my life, my testimony, ought to make the gospel look more attractive. So Paul said one of the primary ways by which that happens is when I can have joy in trials.
Yes, yes. And one of the best ways for that to happen is joy in trials. And I think you mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago about how someone saying God is good when they get the job promotion, obviously, but God is still good when that job demotion or that layoff happens. God is good when the health is perfect, and everyone could say that, but God is good even when the health reversals, those downturns, those hard times, those things that have fallen out type times, those bonds in Christ type times, to be able to have a consistent connection, our emotions tied to who He is rather than to how are we doing? How are we doing?
So standing fast, I want you to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So often you hear people talk about church unity, or maybe they'll talk about church split, which is the disunity. So standing fast in one spirit with one mind. You know, how is that possible to stand fast in one spirit and one mind for the faith of the gospel?
We're looking at, we have a diverse church, a multicultural church, multi-generational church, and for that church, I think we have 20-some different nationalities. We have young and old. We have independently wealthy, and we have some that are jobless. But there's a unity in the fact that our hearts are gathered around things that never change. Christ.
That's the ticket.
The gospel. The kingdom.
So unity is a matter of shared belief in unchanging truth, as opposed to union, which is, hey, let's minimize our beliefs for the purpose of just getting together. That's the most tenuous of relationships.
Yes.
But unity is, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is already provided.
Yes.
One Lord, one
yes.
faith, one
yes.
baptism.
Yes.
Hey, the Word of God. So the insofar that we share a conviction that the Word of God is true, that the gospel is central,
yep.
that Christ is our motivation, there's one spiritness.
Yes.
There's one mindedness.
Yes.
He's going to go into that much more in chapter 2. Let this mind
yes.
be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So as we have a shared love, individual, but shared because we have the same love for Christ, there's going to be that unity is going to be the result of that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the contrast between unity and union is the same as the contrast between unity and uniformity. And so many times we try to have uniformity. Everyone look alike, talk alike, be alike. But it's an endless battle to try to have that unity that way. The only way to have true unity is the fellowship of the gospel. Fellowship of the gospel. All of our lives being centered on Him. The fellowship of the Spirit. The kingdom of God. When our top priorities are the same priorities as someone else, those lower priorities don't really matter. We end up having big arguments about such small things.
We really do. At the end of the day, it's like this army is getting ready to go to war, and we're over here playing in a sandbox fighting about whatever.
Yes, yes. That quote, I misquoted you on the other day, 80% of the world hasn't tasted ice cream, and we're fighting about which flavor is the best.
Mm. Yeah, good thought. So what keeps us from having that Christ focus, what keeps us from that one spiritness, that one mindedness? Well, he tells us. He tells us in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So fear is crippling. Fear is paralyzing and neutralizing. So the Apostle Paul comes back to don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of trials and adversaries. Physical trials that can happen, sometimes that's a sickness, an illness, a catastrophe, or people in your life, personnel, people adversarial to your stand, sometimes a family member, sometimes a coworker, sometimes a neighbor. But don't allow these things to dissuade you from being a champion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I think is interesting because the number one piece of encouragement in the Bible is simply that admonition, fear not.
Amen. Amen.
It's the number one thing God says to us as far as an imperative, fear not. And we fear because we don't practice the presence of God in our lives.
Yes, because the main qualifier is fear not, for I am with thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And to the extent we are aware of his presence, to the extent we're aware of the bigness of the gospel, to the extent we're aware that our main goal is to make him, to lift him, to magnify him, to that extent, we will have the unity of the Spirit in the
body. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. In other words, Joshua, you need to find your courage, find your fearlessness, find it in my presence.
Yes.
I am with you. Lo, I am with you alway, he told the 12, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Don't fear, don't be afraid. So Paul says, hey, let your conversation adorn the gospel. Yeah. God's going to allow some things in your life that in and of themselves are not fun, they don't feel good, but he's decorating. He's decorating. God is the ultimate interior decorator.
Amen.
And he's decorating your life in such a way that the gospel is going to be enhanced. The gospel is going to be the focus. Let him do that. Don't be afraid by what people say about you or people do to you. Don't let the sum preclude you from seeing that there are many. But even more important than that, don't let Christ be enshrouded from your life. I mean, come on. There's a bigger purpose than all of this. So together, let's serve Jesus Christ. Let's allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to be central.
Amen. And to see the diversity of those three main characters at the start of the church, how diverse they were. Lydia, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, seller of purple, and then the demonic, a younger lady, probably, most assuredly, and then a blue-collar Philippian jailer. Those three, the diversity even there, and then as the church continues to grow and be built, but their unity was in the big items, the Lord Jesus Christ, focusing on him, which I think is where he goes. What sort of things are pure, holy, just, if they're being praised, think on these things, focus on those things. Hey, keep those big items as the top priority.
Well, that's so good. Well, that's our little synopsis of chapter one. It's taken us a while to get there.
Yes, it has.
But wow, I am just more than excited about looking forward to where we're going to be tomorrow in chapter two, and talking about the mindset of Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ. You're not going to want to miss it. But thank you for taking time today to join us. I do pray that you have a great day serving the Lord. Remember today, your life is a decoration, and we want people looking at Jesus because of us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.